Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about... In this podcast, I'm going to talk about strategy. Now, and sort of, there's sort of two regimes that you can have in strategy. That is, when you're in a game, when you're attacking or defending, retreating, all that type of stuff, that type of strategy where there's something to be won. Sort of game strategy. And then there's other strategies of a sort of a maintenance strategy that applies pretty much for the rest of the time of how do you organize something that when you want to swap over to that game strategy, you're in a position to work. So that makes sense. You can have the best strategy and the best way of thinking about things. But if you're not, if you haven't done the standby time, the planning time, or looked after yourself that way, it's not going to unfold for you. I don't know how I can quite explain it. This is pretty much what your strategy of how do you maintain yourself in peacetime, so to speak. Or how do you maintain yourself given that the things that you want to do, or perhaps the things you can do, are no longer possible. So in my case, it's sort of this rehab zone you're in. You're not back in work, you're not supported. What can you do in the meantime to respond to the environment that's your most productive? And in my head, I've got sort of about four regimes to comment on. One is the regime of sort of lack of planning, where the actual strategy, your way of doing things, are sort of lazy, and they sort of mean that you sort of convulse around the strategic place, and you wind up to just sort of strategic convulsion. Obviously, I'm not doing that, but I can observe that, and I suppose the strategy there is when you're in that thing, you don't want to commit too much energy into convulsion, because it can just, one of the things of convulsion, it can just sap all the energy, all the focus, and all the attention from them. Then there's a, I had four, but I can't really scratch my head for four. There's something which is, imagine the peak and reverse engineer from the back. And so there's actually four, so it's convulsion, reverse engineering, from the peak, and so I have, I suppose, three examples of it. It's a well-tried scientific method when you've got many paths forward, and you can start going backwards and actually seeing which little paths are the best paths by actually working backwards. Then there's the maintenance thing, in that maintenance strategy, i.e. that you've got so many resources and so much time you're spending anyway, how do you actually sort of like keep everything oiled, ticking over, and things are run just to check the expertise is still there, but also to oil things up, to make sure things lock together. So that's that sort of maintenance, locally, conventional stuff. And then there's emergent strategies. If you're at this particular point, what can you... You've got this sort of grab bag of ideas, capabilities, problems. What can you do to actually formulate them into a product, bring them forward, and sort of give them a bit of a test run, so you can actually see what's going ahead. So I'll describe those four areas. Obviously, the first area's a convulsion is the actual something I want to avoid, but I'll probably describe that a little in terms of it's not so much doing the strategy, believing the strategy, it's sort of identifying as a framework to actually put things forward. So I hope people are following me at this stage. I should just put a little ad. As my brain things are clearing, I can hear a little bit here, and I sort of looked over there and I said, oh, I've cut the bit rate a bit sharp on this as my hearing's improving. So I've improved the bit rate a little bit on the audio podcast, so there should be less raspy, slightly higher quality sound, and I'll eventually tick over to a high quality microphone, because you can only get so much. You can obviously hear me walking here in the Australian bush, and at least it's not a hot day. It's okay. You can hear a few birds, but when the cicada's going, it's just impossible to hear. It's just impossible to cancel out cicadas. So that first thing is convulsion, and this is really where you like the idea of managing, you like the idea of strategy, and for whatever reason, you're not going to have an appreciation of your own lack of ability, so you just take charge. You look at the situation, can't do that, but I can take charge. I can actually continuously push myself up such that I can take charge without any of the groundwork. And therefore, you go into position without reading the policies first, without really thinking through, then you start making gut decisions, which work for you for them to work, you have to actually exert personal pressure. So therefore, you get this feedback that things only work if I exert personal pressure. So already the sort of management by discovery, i.e. I discover I'm a manager, therefore I rationally work through that I have to have these behaviour traits. Everything's back to front, ass up, so to speak. So I haven't thought through exactly what I'm doing. Therefore, in order to do it, I've got to adopt all these behaviours. Very soon, if I was involved in that, I wind up absolutely hating myself and totally ashamed. And so you have to kill off your self-shame and eventually do one thing, one mistake, and not think through what's going through. And then you're led along the path of making mistakes. Now, the methodology of getting away from that is to draw people into conflict and smash them. And so what I'm doing is just, I suppose, leading them along, adding tags, saying, well, can you explain this? This is the exact policy as set out. You're not doing it. What's the story? Rather than actually saying, this is incorrect, that's offensive, take all the emotion out of it and actually tag it. And because this is outside the direct Warhammer thing, it's strategically misaligned. What will happen, or what is happening, is that you get more and more absurd and extreme disasters piling up, and it's just, you let them pile up, you just have to push them ever so gently. There's that feeling that the disasters that they were piling up on you pile back on top. And so there's the art of the gentle push to get that happening. People in the know of my own intimate situation will see it's there. And there's sort of reasons why you wouldn't go into a big combat or big conflict if you have other things to do. Like I had heart condition to get over, rehab to get over. There's no program sorted for me. So get up and just push. That's your other strategic look. So that's the convulsion. And thing to avoid, but to identify it, understand it, and keep it at it, hermetically keep it at a distance, just quietly tagging it and escalating it and doing it till you eventually get complete, hopefully folding. I can't see how it can actually go any other way. So that's convulsion. Then you've got the reverse engineering, and from the long target to actually construct your way backwards. Now, what did me up this is that I just have read a New Scientist article about how you do a big molecule. Is you get the big molecule and you break it from the big one, one part at a time, and actually try and see the paths that big molecule that you go down until you can finally synthesize it. Sort of rather than saying, I want to do this, and I start putting my easiest bonds together, and you get into a dead end. Now, that's an overall logical strategy on conserving your cognitive load in doing it, because if you start off on a very wide base, you've got many factors to consider. You may have 40 reaction steps to get going at once, whereas going backwards, it's one or two. It's sort of going backwards. Now, it's also worthwhile. You know, that's all theoretical. If people said, look, you can't go into the lab, you can't get any chemicals, you can't get any finance, blah, 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 you can still, well, the only option forward is not to consider all these things. You're almost forced to go in that reverse engineering effect. Now, I only recognise it because it's something I've used time and time again. Now, I'll have to describe it. It's the basis of question answering. Where you get the question, and you start with the details, which are the, it usually is, what is blah, 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 considering this factor, in the light of that. Okay, so in the light of this, we consider these factors, blah, 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 and then the restricted answer. And this is very much so because your general answer in general has a large range of applications, and then you have to actually pick your way through it. If you go in for an engine, a question from the front, or a job specification from the front, it's far more work. Now, the problem is that if you've got 20 applications, and there's one application which has said, and this is in the real world, one application has said, well, this is the way we're going to do it, you'll be able to see, and if you logically trust every step. Now, if you go in this reverse engineering step, we're actually drawing people's attention to the logic of every step. They can say, well, I'm not here, I don't understand that step, and they can throw it out. It's sort of like the clarity of it is its own worst enemy. Sorry, there's a beautiful, beautiful rock ledge up over here. I think I'm just going to see if I can get up to it and have a little sit and a read. Sorry, a little sit and talk to it. So, yeah, in the real world, in sort of your research world, that's the way to go. Sort of similar to a customer coming in, an uneducated customer, and saying, I want this molecule. And it's very easy to sell the first steps, because you can take them into lab and say, here, I've done this step, done that step, it's going to work. Whereas someone who doesn't have the equipment saying, well, look, my methodology will give you the correct answer. And it's very easy for someone to sit on the sideline and white hat and say, oh, I don't know about him. If I were ignorant, and not that you are ignorant, I would have all these questions, and it's this white anting, and so this goes with the zone that really the strategy of reverse engineering also has to be very much alert onto the role of white anting. Now, I hope you understand what I'm saying. So if you've got a highfalutin reverse engineering thing, it's very easy for an ignorant person to befriend another ignorant person and slowly close the door, because it's not the standard way of doing it. So it's a research way of doing it, but it's not necessarily the standard. You can hear me going through in, I suppose, an army, they call this cornflake regime. And this, look, this is practically, it's no way you could sneak anyone up. This is me, this room was all tinder dry. And you can hear all the things cracking, but I'll get on there. So, but it is possible. Look, I'll just, it's impossible. There you go, and you've got a lot of, oh, far out, there's some good views from here. Yeah, so it is actually possible. I can't remember how to actually walk through this tinder stuff without making any noise, but I've forgotten it. I tried to do a little bit. Stealth and stealth sitting down here. Okay, so reverse going through. So, yeah, in practical terms of marketing things, you just have to suck it and say, look, people... I thought I heard something. There's a few interesting marks on the trees. Come along and let's have a look around. And no snakes out, there's no heat. Okay, no, mercifully no attacking insects. So it's actually rather pleasant for once. Yeah, as I say that, as I get going. Yeah, so you have this reverse engineering, and it's the way to do, but you have to, you can train people up in it, but you've got to also train them to say, well, it's sort of like, you're turning yourself into a piece of shit, and you're going to get all these white anti blowflies going around just pointing out that I don't understand, therefore the next person doesn't understand it. And so essentially you've got to be sort of like a... Christ. Sorry, there's an ant on me. You've got to be... You have to get some stamina and experience before you can actually really go in the reverse engineering stakes. Now, as I said, there's the molecules, there's just questions in general, but in general, it's a something to understand the cognitive load that you're doing it going through. And again, this is the synthetic podcast quiz. You do a podcast, and you can. By doing the podcast quiz in reverse, that is, you start off with the explanation. And the explanation really gives you the answer. You give a question, which therefore goes very well with the explanation. Because you've just given an explanation, you've got the question after it, then you've got the series of answers. And that actually method is reverse method. So you've got a whole series of this reverse method. Now, sort of higher than that is a completely mapping the whole possibility space using this advanced app and maths that I've developed. And again, we're living in an age where we cannot speak about the white anting, but it's very easy for an ignorant person to say, I don't understand the maths, therefore it doesn't exist. When you can have a piece of paper with the actual mathematical proofs there, and they're of a structure that it's right, it's correct, because it produces this, these algorithms produce the correct answer, or look, here's the web program which produces it. It's Groblowy. You can sort of, as I may have mentioned, it's the flesh-eating ones, the martial arts, and you're not going to get any of the really nasty ones because we're high up on a ridge, a good 500 metres from the nearest water. And I'll tell you what, this place is just going to blow when the flames come up. And the saving grace, it's where there's water, eucalyptus leaves, and the eucalyptuses are doing well, that they juice out their flame stuff. But this will go up like anything. So let's do a review of this so far. We're 20 minutes in, so it's not too hard. You've got the convulsion, which you just want to do a watching brief on it, and at a certain point in time, just say, well, look, we have to move on now. It's happening, but look, we have to move on here and keep away from it. The watching, the convulsion management is designed to actually suck you in and suck your power away, which you really can't afford to do. And then, given that you get almost forced into this reverse engineering stuff, and it's something giving you a grog bite, but there at the moment. But you've also got to know the tendencies there. But then there's also sort of the maintenance of effectiveness. That is where you're going to go, well, in these hours, I'm going to spend them as productively as possible. I'm going to spend so much programming for these goals, and I'm going to spend the rest podcasting, then the rest extension, the rest reading, that combination forward, and then anything else which can go forward. You're not going to sit there. And so this is sort of pretty much similar to different bases you go through. I go army bases or companies. Say, for instance, companies. There's companies that can be a lot of people busy but not all that productive, and then you can have people going for meetings with targets and things up on the wall, and you can just tell two different things. There's one, and you know, often I've been mistakenly dragged into different companies thinking that I've got a lot of investment money behind me, and you can pretty well see the different types of companies who are not investing in just turnover maintenance of things, i.e. scheduling, oiling of machines, or calibrating equipment. Getting in there, there's people who just leave it and then rush everything at the last moment. It's sort of like that stage beyond the startup when you're sort of normalizing up, and then you've got to check everything's an oiled machine. Now, there is a thing that if you go through and calibrate your equipment, one of the things you are doing is you're calibrating the rate of calibration. You are demonstrating. So if you calibrate your multimeters fairly consistently, that they're stable, you see them and then pull them back rather than actually suck and see and only calibrate them once in a while, you can actually pick up mistakes aggressively. I just wish I could describe it. I suppose it could be seen as a state of ignorance and high activity. That is, you assume your ignorance, and you're going to just a budget of so many calories to expend in a day, or so much money to spend in a day, and you're going to do all these things. So one of the things about doing podcasting over and over again is that I'm just chundering it through the same, chundering, that's an Australian word for vomiting, but chunder means to just pour rubbish down the chute, pour it down the chute, and see the system operate. Now, what this has done is I've gradually picked up problems, nailed them one by one, and I think there's this weird problem of this particular subroutine not working in a certain environment. Unfortunately, I've got a backup revaluation of that subroutine to stick in. But that's only picked up from actually doing podcast after podcast after podcast, because there's no investment money, there's no background round four, and it sort of is like you combined, if I forget the first one, keep the convulsion stuff away, give the reverse engineering a broad thing to actually see the sequences of things that you can put together, and then populate that reverse engineering with maintenance work. So it's very hard to program all the time. In fact, I actually probably program a little bit better when I'm sort of working on a project, and once I've got out how it's going, I can drop it at 5 minutes, play with the kids, come back for 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes, do the next, and gradually get it up and completed. But it's that overall effort that's going. Now, the problem is that where I've got to get to in terms of rehab is a certain set of skills. I'm not doing that complete set of skills, but it means that I've at least got the capacity and the discipline to retask. I'm not starting from a low level going high. I'm just converting across. And the final thing is this exploratory system, and that is that you have a system, say like synthetic podcasts, synthetic quizzes, there is this thing about, I don't know, it's sort of like throwing rocks over a cliff, and if you don't hear them fall, you know, if you don't hear them crash, you know how deep it is. And like in the black, say in the black, I don't know how you quite describe it. So there would be nothing, this is okay here, because you've got a bit of a warning, but there's lots of places where it's just sheer cliff. There's lots of canyons here, it's sheer cliffs. You walk at night and you lose where you're going, you can just walk over a cliff, or particularly there's these, you walk along the canyons or something like that, and you look up every once in a while and you can just see in the cliff a little hole, wombat hole. So you look into the cliff and up, and you see a shard of light going fairly dinkum, probably about 10 metres down. There's about three of those on the edge of Glenbrook Gorge. And you know that if you walk along the edge, you at night, you could just down a hole. And it goes for for all things. And so there's a sort of thing like getting the stick and hitting it around out the front of you every once in a while. If you think there's a tip there, by throwing a rock, I don't really recommend doing this with lots of people around. You throw a rock, you can hear it not hit. So there's this thing about you are sort of getting a feel of the terrain. So this observing train. So we're all in the area of the strategies that you have when you don't have a strategy. There's a term for that in the Australian vernacular, Clayton's strategy. That's the drink you have when you're not having a drink. We had this fake alcohol, and it was marketed as really so alcoholic, but not alcoholic. It's sort of fake stuff. But when you are not... get off me. That's okay. So this is, you can hear the different bugs. I don't know if you could hear that bug coming across, and it just sounded as though it was going to have a sting. It's not something that you'd recognise. It's just sounded them. There's this entire thing, and I suppose the sense I get is that my context has moved on, been worn down, withered away, moved on. I have to find a new context to go forward, and perhaps podcasting is the way to go. Sorry, only 30 minutes in, and that's okay. It's just so these little flies and buzzy things come to you, and you think, oh Christ, I'm going to be eaten. Okay, so let's review it here. There is your classic strategy book written by the Americans, where you pick up a book, you know, how to get a great business, and they say, oh, these businesses were in trouble. They called me over and they took my advice, and they're so successful, and they're making profits and blah, blah, blah. If your profit engine, if your functionality has been wiped out in health or you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time, or the people have decided you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you swap into the second strategy zone of what's doing when you're cut off from supplies and you've just got to rebuild, dig in and rebuild. And we've got these four components which I've come up with. There's no magic to it. They're just sort of feel the land. Oh, that's there. Those two things don't go together. So you eventually get four divvy bags divvy bag, it's called. And the first one is this convulsion stuff. And there's the what it is and your relationship to it. You don't necessarily have to do it. You have to have a relationship to it. And so in this convulsion one, you just watch it, tag it as much as possible, and move on, and have a sort of a sense of calm. There's nothing more enjoyable for someone who's doing convulsion management is someone to protest, because then they can line them up and, you know, they can, it's sort of like being chased, you know, there's a lion in the bush or something like that, a tiger in the bush, and you suddenly see it and you start running away, you're now giving it heaps and heaps of signals to where you're going, and you're casting yourself in a prey-predator relationship, whereas you can just keep it at bay, confuse it, slowly build traps around it, contain it. This is more the attitude towards it rather than actually doing it. Again, the attitude into reverse engineering. And I suppose the most entire thing is that you've got to persist, and just this is where you need your technical expertise to think, well, that's a goer, and that there, I disagree with it. I think I might categorize that as white anting. And eventually you write up a sufficient number of inputs from this person, and you just say, well, that person is a white anter. Why? Well, because everything they put in is consistently, you don't feel against them. You just move the conversation along it, so when they do white ant, that you've got the ground presented. But look, indeed, there are these white ant people, and I see them, and they're very successful, and they haven't really moved on. So that's the way to reverse engineering and the thought front. Then there's the category three, which is sort of just the discipline of activity, in that inactivity costs. And so there's the thing of maintaining activity, you know, sort of honest, not don't waste your time, but honest activity, and also placing it into the framework, you know, honest activity away from the convulsion into reverse engineering and go ahead. And then there's the bear in mind, these strategies are not going to win. You're not going to win the situation. There's the actual putting it out there. So the podcast is probably an example of a great example of putting it out there. The reverse quiz is a great example of putting it out there. It's actually a product of this bizarre mindset, and it's there. It is. I'm not saying it's good. That's it. Stand alone, and I think it's the limit. You just say, look, it's out there. Get to it. Get to sort of understand what it's about, but don't overthink it. And then you can get sort of these relaxed, short range, intimate views of it, of seeing where it goes. And I suppose the sort of putting it all together, you've got that. So that's that fourth thing of where you suck it, you see it, you chuck it forward, but you don't have the finances, the connections, the everything to actually productize your ideas. But reverse engineering, part of the reverse engineering is like a chemical reaction. Yes, everyone focuses on the exact chemicals being put in. Well, not everyone, but people, chemists do that. They say it's this and this. But, you know, what's important? It's some of the catalysts you put in, the shape of the container, the cleanliness of the container, the procedures. I know a lot of the procedures I've involved with didn't work unless you actually ultrasounded the little salts and things like that. You just couldn't get it dissolved. Now, I'm sure chemists don't do that, but us physicists dealing with dye lasers and stuff like that, ultrasound is the only way to go. So part of this is actually you're developing understanding. You may develop understanding of the chemistry and the core stuff. It's developing the techniques to streamline it. So part of the overall strategy is a better develop automation so that I can just pump these out and distribute them. And you realize, I can distribute it here, but obviously there's going to be a few steps here. And at the moment I go and look. It's hard to say. This is almost another thing is that you're disembodied from all these strategy things, and you're just asking this fundamental question: well, how do I get this onto massive numbers of feeds? And I don't know. There's certain solutions I'm going through. I check the library. No, Podcasting for Dummies is Podcasting for Dummies. It doesn't actually tell you how to get across. And then you just slowly push on certain things, like. I've actually forgotten the name of this feed burner, but there's another feed which I just put it to. There sort of seems to be no magic way for getting across, and so that strategy thing of actually the product itself going through is something which is made not from the actual. The product is not the actual quiz. It's the actual ability to automate a quiz and put it through, and you're chucking it out there because it's part of this maintenance process. So that's the strategy environment as it is, and it's not a command and directional strategy. It's a strategy going nowhere. It's a strategy of staying in one place and slowly building up, and I suppose keeping a close cover. Sort of similar to if you're occupying an area, you're in an area, you get to know the actual bush, the tracks, the regions. You're not going on, well, I suppose you should always try and go on big patrols and actually investigate what's up there and try and understand the environment. But the main thing is to stay put and keep a low profile and actually get the supply systems in that you can cover up. And so it's the longer you're there, the more that you can actually slowly build defences and channel people around the place. Thanks a lot for listening. I'll get back and put this podcast out. I don't believe it. Decided to podcast about absolutely bloody nothing, and it's gone to 40 minutes. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.